You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about all the bubbles, all right? The NWSL Challenge Cup bubble. We're talking about the MLS is back bubble.
Right. And we're talking about Christian's behind bubble.
Correct. We're starting with Marissa Pilla, who is the lead sideline reporter for the NWSL Challenge Cup. And what do we got next, Alexis?
Oh, and then after that, we go to the other bubble. We're going to go talk to Dom Dwyer of Orlando City. And let me tell you something, we talk about it all.
Okay. So all this and more today on the
Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay.
Woo! Come on.
Yes, look at this. We got some, almost Friday energy, okay?
Is it? One of these days I'm going to collapse, and I just want to hear what the beginning of the show sounds like with Christian both trying to keep it professional but also wondering if I'm okay.
Hey, man, look, if it'll get some clicks, whatever it takes.
It's all about the views at this point. Maybe I should pretend to collapse, you know?
You could be like Wendy Williams with, when she collapsed, remember?
I do not remember that.
You got to watch more Wendy Williams. Anyway.
Yeah, daytime TV, folks.
Hey, everybody. Hello. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television.
Yeah. You guys remember when stand-up comedy existed? We're not just that, though. We also happen to be the gulliest.
Correctamundo. Okay. Yeah. I'm sounding like Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction for some reason.
Boy, your references are starting to really target down into the early aughts. You know what I mean? Or when did Pulp Fiction come out?
No, that was that in the 90s? Who knows? Anyway.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's been a while. We're excited about today's show because not only are we obviously we're going to be joined later.
We're going in two bubbles, dude.
Two bubbles.
We're going to be in two bubbles, my dude.
Double bubble. Is that a gum? I don't know.
Yo, right? It's like first of all, trademark it right now. What are you doing? Cancel the show. We're billionaires.
Sure.
Hello, Kraft Incorporated.
Yes, we're talking about MLS is back a little bit later with Dom Dwyer of Orlando City. But we have to get started with the first contact team sport to come back in the United States. Which
is that the proper terminology for it?
It is
contact team sport.
Yeah, I'm adding terminology
right?
to it.
Yeah, you stacking credentials on
there? 'Cause these people gotta know. Okay,
right? It's kind of like when you're making a resume and you're like, I can't just say answered phones. So you gotta stretch it out a little bit.
Advanced, highly technical, right? Telephone operative
assisted multiple organizations with communications, and you're like, okay.
Okay.
Damn, you might be overqualified. This Applebee's.
We're excited. The NWSL made its, the return first to American team sports.
We're
excited to be joined by our guest who is right there in the middle of Utah, in the bubble, talking about everything at NWSL Challenge Cup. So please introduce our guest.
She is perpetually 6 feet to the left and about a foot and a half in front. In an odd angle, which we gotta ask, what the hell's going on out there in Utah? We're so happy. This is the second time that this guest has been on our show, but the first time was all the way back on September 30th, 2016. And boy, have all three of our careers changed. Both of us. Christian's still in the same place.
Both of us. I mean, my mom's basement. It hasn't changed.
But the beautiful background. And the food's good. No, but I mean, it's just, it's so great to be able to bring this person back on. You know her, you love her. If you used to be a fan of Philadelphia Union, you remember her. And now, she is the, the lead announcer for NWSL/the NWSL Challenge Cup, which is on CBS and CBS All Access. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Marissa Pilla. Come on.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Alexis just said lead announcer, but you're really the sideline reporter, so just want to be accurate about that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm stalking the sidelines every game. That's where I live.
I got most of that right. So
there's a lot of adjectives in the buildup too, so I know. Yeah.
Exactly. Marissa, thank you so much for joining us again. Yes, the last time you were on our podcast, which was in 2016, you were working with the Philadelphia Union. You've done so many things since then, but now it's been awesome watching you during the Challenge Cup and being the main reporter. You're interviewing all the players. What's sort of the experience been like so far? I know it's stupid hot, right, in Utah, so it has to be a little bit challenging.
Right.
And
technical
then also
term.
Let's talk a little bit about the bubble itself and how everything kind of is turning out there in Utah.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of us didn't know what to expect because, like, with everything that's going on, no one has any experience with something like this. A lot of national team players I was talking to, they were like, "Oh, it kind of reminds me of like a national team camp, but like you can also leave during that camp. Like you can go take a hike, you can go to a restaurant, and here you don't have that freedom." But I think the teams have done a good job at giving their players outlets. Like there's game rooms set up in their hotels. For me, I'm in an apartment right across the street from the stadium, so I've got a very quick commute. I still drive because I'm getting enough steps on the sidelines. I just drive right home. But it's been pretty good.
Your Fitbit's like, "Are you sure?"
Fitbit battery is like,
"For me." First of all, you never move, and now you're walking a lot. Is everything okay?
Siri calls you on the phone. Like,
yeah.
"Oh, you good?
You gotta stop moving."
What was the? We can maybe get into it a little bit more after the break if it's a longer answer, but what the news about the Orlando Pride not being able to join in on the tournament, how was that received amongst like the media and maybe some the rest of the players?
I think most people were just kind of heartbroken for the team, because at least from my point of view, when I was doing all of my prep, Orlando was one of the teams I was most excited to see. They had so much energy heading into not only the draft, like the off season. Their head coach, Mark Skinner, just had so much passion, like putting into what he wanted this team to look like. We talked to him on the phone and he was just like, "This is going to be such a completely different team." And they really brought in so many interesting players, and Emily Sonnen and Allie Riley was with the team, and we got to talk to some of them, and everybody just seemed so excited to be like, "Wait, like, just you wait until you see us. Like, we're going to look great." And they were kind of my team to watch. So for me personally, I was just so disappointed for them. I know they were working crazy hard. They said their training sessions were super intense just to get ready. And you want to see them out there. You want to see, you want the whole league to be able to compete, to really see where people are, to not have them in here. It's been tough, but I've been loving their Twitter account, which is just like going off the rails like every game, and it's just made everything so much more interesting.
Yeah, people haven't seen the Orlando Pride Twitter account has just been the biggest fan of the WSL Challenge Cup, and they just embrace like the situation, and so it's
like
good
they're still involved somehow, which is kind of great.
Yeah,
and I love that they took that approach, because very easily you could feel like, "Oh, we're not in it, and we'll just watch from afar." But I love that they kind of went all in and they're just piggybacking on
Absolutely. Christian and I have been doing a lot of these sort of Twitch watch-alongs, and the fans really seem to be involved. And we've been trying to do just a lot of charity stuff, just bring a lot of attention. But it seems like the players have sort of taken this opportunity as well to really make sure that their voice is heard. Obviously, we saw some really powerful scenes on the first day with a lot of the players taking knees. The picture you can't get out of your head of Julie Ertz and, remind me,
Casey Short,
sort of embracing in this moment of like sort of just sort of trying to share that moment and trying to be as really making a hell of a statement across the board. What have you noticed from being there and how important it is for some of these players to really make their voice heard?
Yeah, that moment with Julie Ertz and Casey Short, it was incredible. It really was like so powerful. And I think that first day, because they were the second game of the first day, but that first day had so much emotion kind of buzzing around it, because not only were players anxious to get back on the field, but they really, it was very important for them to stand for, you know, their causes like Black Lives Matter and show what they care about in the communities they want to help support. And so I think there was all this energy around that too. So they were they took a knee for the anthem, and then they also did a moment of silence for 46 seconds for George Floyd. And it was just very, very powerful. You could tell, like, right at the beginning of the game, when emotions are already heightened, they were even more so. And then throughout this tournament, players had been donating their goal bonuses to organizations. And Sarah Gordon started her Pass It Along challenge, where she donated, I think it was $5 for every pass she completed in Sunday's game to an organization that gives free mental health services to low-income communities. And her teammates kind of snowballed on that. So it's really great to see not only these players back in action, because we know, like, that's where they want to be and they love being there, but also seeing them take advantage of that their platform is heightened and what they really care about, being able to support that.
Yeah. Look, I'm part of it too. I'm trying to support. This is a shirt from Gal Pal Sports, and obviously Meg Linehan, who's a friend of the show, and they made a shirt for her to support Black and Pink, which is a LGBT Black trans organization. So look at this. I mean, it's
a great shirt too.
Yeah. If you don't get the reference, that's when Meg had the schedule but would refuse to give it to anyone.
She always holds on tight to that schedule.
Right? How dare she?
It's disrespectful, Meg.
You know, gladly, I'm just happy that we have a platform to shame her and do this. Okay?
It's about time people know the truth. Okay. Have you? You've been right on the sideline. You've been getting a chance to really communicate with a lot of these players, especially after they've played the match and throughout it. Especially for a lot of people who maybe are new to NWSL. A lot of the big names we've watched, but there's been a lot of standout stars people that are becoming stars during this competition. Who in particular would you say, maybe one or two that have really stood out, have really started to really make a name for themselves?
And why is it definitely Shea Groom?
Go for it. Shea Groom. How good does she look? Oh my God. She's so much fun to watch. And, you know, I talked to her about, like, joining a new team and what that meant for her. Cause you would think after, you know, you're seen in a certain light with a certain team. And she said she loved her time with her
Sky
other
Blue.
Teams at
Rain.
But going to Houston, she's like being able to, like, hook up with Rachel Daly up top. Like, it just gives her so many more options. And she's just incredible to watch, because she's this, like, she's very small in stature, and that header that she hit a couple of games ago, I was like, how did you do that? But she's so fun to watch. Portland's got a goalkeeper, Bella Bixby, that's really fun to watch. She had only a few days to prepare for the opening game. They found out Franch couldn't go, and they gave Bella Bixby the shot, and she kind of had to She's been ready, but mentally prepare for in just a few days. Who else has been really good? I mean, Washington Spirit just has so many great young players.
Yes.
They've been Ashley Sanchez, Ashley Hatch, like, they've both been doing really well. I don't know. There's just so many exciting players. And that's what's really cool about this league, is that, yes, it has incredible athletes on the national teams and the international teams. But then when they get an opportunity to go through the depth and show who else they have, it's really fun to see who kind of emerges.
And as far as just some quality teams, what has I feel like this tournament is anybody but the Courage, right? That's what people are saying, because they're just so dominant. So who feels like maybe the second best team? You know, watching it on TV might not feel the same as being on the sideline. Who do you think is like the next standout?
You know, Washington's really been doing well. It just feels like they're right there, and they have so much talent. Like, their midfield's very talented. I mean, you have Rose Lavelle, and even their goalkeeper, Aubrey Bledsoe, has been doing really well. And even though they're the youngest team in the tournament, they've shown a real sense of resiliency. And also, I think when you're young, I've heard this from players and coaches in the past, that, like, when you have young players, they often play with this fearlessness, because they're just like, hey, I'm here to play. And it really works well. So I really like Washington. Houston's looked really fun on offense, too.
If they could just put it all together, Houston would be so dangerous. They are so fun to watch.
There, they are so fun to watch.
The conversion from Mewis to Grooms and Daly just is wild.
Yeah. And what Daly can do, like her relentlessness on the ball is just, I look at her, I'm like, where does that fire come from? Like she is relentless.
Who on the other team talk garbage to you? Like she is like an Apache.
I was going to say, what have been some of the surprises? Like at least for me, looking at the table, right? So we're recording this on Monday the 13th, but obviously the quarterfinal they start Friday and Saturday, so we don't know the exact seeding. But to see like Portland and even Houston to be so kind of just low on pretty much at the bottom of the table is quite the shock.
Yeah, for sure, especially with Portland, because I think they've played well. They've had halves and that they look so completely dominant, and it's just that thing of missing that final touch, and that's kind of what we're hearing from coaches is like we're just missing that little final touch, that little something extra in the attacking third. And I think a lot of that just has to do with like this is the first time these women are playing in months, and you still kind of have to work all of that out, and there's new players and all of that. But I think Portland is such a talented team, obviously. Yeah. You have Christine Sinclair and you have Megan Klingenberg and Lindsay Horan when she's in, and how can you not be talented? So yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting to see how the seeding has shaped up, but once these knockout rounds come, it's going to be a whole new game.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch this level.
Everybody's warmed up and they're going to be getting
going. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, and a reminder, the quarterfinals begin Friday and Saturday, so this weekend, so make sure to check those out. And then the final will end up being July 26th at, I believe, 12:30.
Which will be Eastern on CBS. Time.
On big CBS. Really big deal. We're excited about it.
Yes, the first the opening game had a ton of viewers. The ratings were incredible. So I expect the same or maybe hopefully even better for the final. So Marissa Pilla, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And best of luck out there in Utah. All right, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be back.
Safe driving 200 feet.
I will.
We'll be back with Dom Dwyer of Orlando City right after this.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring you the word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, you being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now, listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we're gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road. People sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine. People sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us. But also, they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't.
A,
like,
there's a few. There's almost like, I think, maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
It's what a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, we're back. Cooligans Living Room FC. And yo, Christian, people say, oh, why didn't you guys go to the bubble? We didn't have to. We're in there via camera, bruh.
Okay?
We sent the drone. Turns out we didn't have a strong enough battery on that bad boy. It died in North Carolina. But luckily, we got the internet. We in there. And I'm so excited for this player.
Yeah, I'm very stoked because I'm giddy. Right? This is wild. I'm glad we were talking to a player inside the bubble, but specifically this player who we are not only fans of, but the man is always in he's always in the news for good and bad reasons.
He's trying to get on them headlines, bro.
His wife roasting him on the internet. What everything, bro. It's just one of the most entertaining MLS players that we have. So please introduce our guest, Alexis.
I mean, you should be excited, or nearly as excited as we are. Our first player from inside the bubble, all right, has played with the men's national team, came all the way from West Sussex, England, from the South, as they like to pronounce it. The starting forward for your Orlando City, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Mr. Sydney, no, I'm joking. Dom Dwyer, everybody.
My guys, thank you for having me.
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. Yeah, in the introduction, we're huge fans. We do have to ask, you are the first player that we're speaking to from inside the bubble. So the news that we got, you know, there's that Twitter account that is like, who knows? I don't know who that Twitter account is that is leaking all this information about what's going on inside the bubble. I don't know if we're talking to the leak. Who knows?
I ain't got time for that. That's how you're going to start it? I love it.
No, but how is it in there? How is it in there? How are you feeling in general?
Honestly, you know, being one of the first teams to arrive here, it's honestly not terrible. You know, you're going to see highlights on the internet of the bad things. And, you know, some are quite entertaining. But, you know, honestly, it's not terrible. The league is working hard as we go to improve things that players aren't happy about. There's a lot of open conversations and, you know, they're really asking us what else we need and what else we want. So I think it's not ideal, especially for players with families. You know, you want to be with them and you can't really have any freedom to go anywhere or do anything. But it's never going to be perfect, but it's okay. The meals are getting better. There's only a couple meals. I think when you first arrive and you have to stay into your room, you know, some of them that get delivered to the door, fruit is maybe the best option. But, you know, it's honestly, it's really good. And the staff are working hard. And, you know, I can't say it's a bad situation for what it is. We get to play football and that's what we love to do.
Dude, if I went somewhere and I was stuck there for a couple of weeks and the best option was fruit, day one, I'd be on camera crying, going, I want to go home. Immediately. I look like a kid in day camp for the first time.
What is this nutritional prison they've got me?
Why is this sandwich yellow and shaped this way? Like, that's a banana, dude. This hot dog is terrible.
So I at least want to ask, we should get the serious stuff out of the way, especially with the news about, you know, the teams that, you know, couldn't even play in the tournament. All right, FC Dallas and Nashville. What was sort of the feeling like when that news sort of came out? Even with Toronto and DC having their game postponed,
luckily being false positives,
stuff like that. So yeah, how is that sort of feel for the players? Kind of like you know, about when the next game is going to be and if anything will happen with the tournament in itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, you know, because sometimes it's concerning. You wonder if the tournament will go ahead and really, we're all here. We've worked hard. We just want to play games. So that's why we're here. And, you know, we're all gutted for Dallas and for Nashville, you know, and it's it's probably something which they decided was for the best. And, you know, you look at the bigger picture and it, you know, it probably was for the best. And it shows you how quickly those things can happen. You know, one guy can catch it from somewhere or, you know, not really taking the proper precautions, and that happens, and then it can cost the whole team. So, you know, I give huge credit to our club and, you know, the other teams that are still in the tournament. And, you know, even the testers, you know, they're here every day. They're out 12 hours a day sitting in the hotel. I'm sure they're quarantined in here as well. So really it's credit to them for helping us getting this tournament underway and being able to do it. So, you know, our staff was strict with us, you know, for probably a good month or so before the tournament. We didn't really do too much other than training and then going straight home. And, you know, it's really been a difficult time. And I had some interesting challenges, obviously, because my wife plays as well on the women's side. I'm sure you've heard of her.
Familiar, so, I think. We had to Google it.
You guys are familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so each time there would be a scare with her team, I would then be quarantined away. So actually for the 2 weeks leading up to the tournament, before we came into quarantine here, I spent 3 days in a hotel while they had a false positive. Then I was allowed to go home again. And then the week leading up to it, once they, you know, they had an actual positive, I had to then distance myself from my kids and my family a week earlier. So I've been in quarantine now for about a month away from them. So it's been a challenging time, and it was pretty difficult to start with. And, you know, going from there, I mean, I couldn't even go home and pack a bag. You know, I was driving back from practice and I get a phone call and it's like, hey, someone's been exposed with Sydney's team. You got 20 minutes, pack up your bag. She's on her way home. You need to get out before she's home. So wow. I couldn't say bye to the kids. I couldn't say bye to her. I just had to jump in the hotel, stay there and wait until we got the go ahead to come in the Disney hotel. And then, you know, I've been here.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's just wildly, you know, frustrating. Like a lot of times, you know, people can kind of oversimplify what's going on, but hearing those details, like, you know, makes it a lot more real and
humanizes it.
Yeah, and frankly, as you know, as fans of the you know, Dwyer family, for us to not be able to get the social media Instagram photos that you guys normally deliver, right. it's extra devastating.
I know that you're wondering where on the priority list we as fans are. Should be near the top because we didn't get what we should get based on your social media.
She's the boss, you know. She's the mastermind of everything. So I think she's quite mad at me. You know, she'll normally send me things. You need to do this. You need to do this. But no, she's very good and skilled. So I credit her for that.
How is she handling not sort of being able to play in this tournament? Is she sort of, I mean, it's been a little bit now. Is she a bit more comfortable with it now? But I'm sure she was gutted at first.
Yeah, she was gutted, you know, because she's barely played in like 2 years. You know, she came she came from back from having Cassius and she got a little bit of a taste of it. And then the season ended. And then she had Rue as well. So that was another season ending injury. And then she's worked, to be fair to her, she has worked so hard. And I had to push her slightly at the beginning. And then it's, you know, it's all her. It's all her drive and what she wants to do. So she worked hard and she was, of course, devastated for a couple of weeks. And I'm sure she still hurts now. And it's probably difficult now that I'm gone too and I'm playing and she's not able to play. Yeah. So I feel for her. But to be fair, she's taking it in her stride. You know, I FaceTimed her this morning and she was in the garage working out with the neighbor. And, you know, she's just grafting away still. She's driven. So she wants in. You'll see her back on the field, no doubt.
She's one of the most inspiring athletes because those photos of her going viral of being pregnant and training and you know, she's inspiring to a lot of people.
She's a beast, mate. She's a beast.
Yeah, for sure. She's exercising for two. I'm not even exercising for one.
when do you do, by the way?
This morning I gave birth to something. I'll tell you that.
I think we should kind of get this out the way. And obviously the MLS is Back tournament opened with Orlando City against Inter Miami. And you had quite a game, all right? It was definitely chippy. Obviously the game was going to be, you know, neither team wanted to lose, and Orlando City ended up winning. But there was a controversial moment, obviously, with an injury that happened to Reyes of Inter Miami. So we should at least talk about it a little bit because it seemed very serious at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, it was very bittersweet. You know, obviously, it was great for the team, you know, to get a win and to get a result. I think it was the start of a long rivalry with this team and a real rivalry. You know, it's a local team in Florida. But it was, you know, it was disappointing. It was a tremendous battle. It was a great fight. And then, you know, to see a player get injured and from your hands as well is never a good feeling. And it, you know, it definitely threw my head off for the rest of the game. You know, I play physically. You know, I'm a competitive player always. My mentality is to win the game, never to hurt players or to cause any damage, of course. You know, I think my last game was September 29th of last year. So that was probably 283 days of frustration and wanting to prove to a new coach, you know, who I am and show him as a player, you know, I'm a competitor and I want to win and what I can do for the team. And, you know, constantly battling for balls. Those things happen in football. And, you know, it was a physical game and he's a tremendous player. And, you know, we were having a great battle. Up until that moment, and you know, it was horrible to see, honestly. And you know, my teammates were coming up to me. They saw I wasn't too happy with it, and you know, they said, you know, focus on the game, carry on. And you know, I was subbed off the pitch, and you know, I went straight to their coach just to let him know that, you know, that's not who I am. And you know, I reached out to him via social media. We spoke. He said he saw the video. He saw it wasn't intentional. We had some bigger collisions, I think, in the first half that were bigger than that one. But, you know, I actually in that play, I didn't feel anything. Honestly, I thought he was just trying to get me booked, you know. So when I, you know, we finished a play, I came back over to him and, you know, he was struggling with his breathing and it was horrible to see. And those were a long, long 6 minutes. You know, I was upset with the ambulance crew not getting on faster. I think they just didn't want to cause more panic. But it was not a nice situation, to be honest, but you know, he's well and he's okay. You know, he's back in the bubble. He's back in the tournament. And you know, that's what you want to see, you know, things happen in football and scary moments. And, you know, luckily there was no issue with him. And he was good.
Yeah just visually and audio, like audio wise, cause there's all these mics shoved in the field and you could really hear him gasping for air. So it seemed like a really big moment at the time, but it's what a wonderful thing that he's much better.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, especially that he's doing better. You know, it is interesting, and we can talk a little bit even about maybe let's talk about your either your style of play or just like the being a forward in Major League Soccer, right? It's a difficult task, right? Because a lot of these the center backs are big ass dudes that you have to
kind
of hold your own. Bruisers.
Most of them have got 20-30 pounds on me. You know, so we're battling away constantly. And I remember it was in 2014. I was there was a stat. I was the most fouled player in the league. So I kind of just
an award
I
for
decided
that,
that
get
if
a,
I wasn't
get a
getting
or what.
I didn't get too much for it, honestly. So just a few bruises. And,
So
I decided,
just
you know,
real quick, before you continue, is that part of your technique though? Is that like, are you trying to draw those fouls?
Yeah, it depends, right? Because you know, as a striker, if the play is going on in the box, your team is defending. You need to put yourself in a good position to be in front of the center back to receive the ball, hold it up, lay it off for your team, and allow the attack to start. So normally with a bigger guy, it's kind of difficult, right? They're literally sitting on your back. So you can either take a touch and then lay it off, or you try and lay it off in one touch. But once you take that second touch, you're getting smacked like a little car crash. So that would often happen, you know, a little bit of a sore neck the next day. And, you know, I just decided, you know, to give it back a little. And, you know, I'd train against our defenders and they would be like, I hate when you do that. I hate when you pressure me. You know, it makes me uncomfortable on the ball. It makes you feel under pressure. So I try to add that to my game. And, you know, as a striker, unfortunately, we're not the best tacklers. So sometimes you're going for the ball and you're a little bit late. And that's in England, we call that a striker's tackle. So, you know, you normally get one or two a game before you get booked. And just to put pressure on defenders. And, you know, normally that makes them want to come and hit you harder. So once you give them a little hit, you know, next time they're coming to hit you hard, you're going to go down. Free kick and your team's up the field. So it's part of the game. And it's, you know, as a youngster, I was coached that way. You know, you back your body into the player. Normally it's an arm across the chest, you know, and you're just pushing away. So sometimes, you know, I've got red cards for that. I've hit him in the face. A lot of the time you're watching the ball's flight. So you're just leaning back. And once you feel the contact off the player, that's kind of your mark to know that that's where they are.
Yeah.
And you know, collisions happen, and that's just part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the strategy behind it, you know, because as fans, we're just like, yo, Dom, put in the back of the net. What are you doing? Yeah, like, we just get
frustrated. And this is trust me, I don't like that part either. I like being in the box, scoring goals, but that's the bit that's added an extra flair to my game. So if that's what the boss wants and if that's what it takes to win, I'm in.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. I'd be grabbing my knee from the first whistle. I'd be like, you saw what these dudes is doing?
I don't even know if this is fair. We're like in different weight classes. Hey. There should be a different league for us.
Hey, straight up.
You kind of look like a bear like cub trying to get your back scratched against the big tree. Some of these dudes is monsters.
I remember trying to fight with Waston once, and he must be about 100 pounds heavier than me. And I was squaring up to him. He's just looking down at me, just laughing.
Like when we made eye contact with Roman Torres, and I looked at Christian like, why would anyone even try it with him? You know, why?
Yeah.
He's a big man.
It's like the football fight, right? It's like, okay, please hit me. You get a red card and then, you know, I'm going to ice my face later.
Yeah, exactly. Dom, we have a group called Gully Squad. That's our supporters, okay? You know, they can do TIFOs and all that. They tell us. We can't see it because we don't play soccer, but we're hearing, right? And we let them ask some questions to some of the guests that come in. And we got a bunch of questions for you. One in particular is from Dimitri, who is I believe he's an Olympiacos fan. So that's where this question comes from.
Ooh,
yeah, so... Okay. So this is from Dimitri. He says, ask him if he ever thinks about what could have been regarding the failed transfer to Olympiacos in 2016, i.e. playing in Europe for more money, playing in Champions League, and what that could have done for your career. And the reason that we ask that is there's a lot of times that players will come on and will have these moments in their careers where something could have happened. And are you able to think about that moment? Are you able to put it in perspective? Where do you feel about that now, where maybe you probably didn't feel that way in 2016 after it didn't happen?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to say I ever regret anything in my life. I always like to kind of live in the present and live forwards. But no, that was a time where it was a really difficult decision. You know, it was an amazing opportunity. And if that came across now, you know, it might be a different situation. But, you know, it just wasn't the right time for me and my family. And you know, it turned out to be a good decision. I mean, the coach that was trying to sign me was fired a week later or 2 weeks later. So... hopefully it wasn't because he couldn't sign a striker, but you know, it was an interesting time, and you know, those opportunities come and go in football. And, you know, I sometimes, you know, wonder what it would have been like. And I think the economy in Greece is interesting, and it, you know, I just wasn't in the position with my family to risk it at that moment. I was about to have a child, and, you know, family just took priority for me at that point.
That's totally fair. Yeah. And speaking of coaches, your new head coach, Oscar Pareja, who we interviewed while he was at FC Dallas. And, you know, his nickname is Papi, right? And we're both Latino. Papi. We're like, all right, he is our dad now, right?
I grew up without a father. Christian's got a bad one. We were both like, could you be our dad? 5 minutes into a conversation with this man.
I mean, he is a father to every single player here, I tell you that.
Yeah, he very much has that very paternal kind of feeling. What's been the relationship with your new coach so far?
I mean, it's honestly amazing. You know, I've had three coaches since I've been at this club in 3 years. And, you know, I had some interesting years here, and I can't say they were the most joyful times. And he's definitely like a breath of fresh air. You know, I think you're going to see success for this club if you haven't already. And, you know, it's a lot of it is due to him. He's managed to keep this group together, especially during these crazy times in the world now. You know, I already respected him as a coach from the days where we would do battle when I was in Kansas and he was in Dallas. And, you know, now I actually get to really experience him. You know, everybody told me when they heard the news he was going to be our coach that I would love him and that he would be the a really good guy for me. And I definitely can say that, you know, he's bringing a strong side out of my game, and he's brought a lot more understanding to my game, and you know, he definitely helps me out in life off the pitch as well. Like you said, as a father figure, and you know, I think he's that for many, many players. So you know, I think it's tough, you know, coaching, but to have that honesty that he has as a player, you can't really ask for more. You know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly what he wants. He'll let you know if you're not doing it and if you are doing it. And you know, I just feel grateful that I'm able to play for him at this time, and you know, especially at this point in my career where it's going to be a vital few years. You know, it's exciting time. And, you know, he's someone who's, you know, I look in his eyes and I see his fire and his passion and his will to win. And, you know, he has that mentality, and I think we match up well on that.
Yeah. You know what? Also, gorgeous eyes on that man. I don't know if you should get lost in them. Yeah.
If there was a Latino 007, he might get a phone call, at least an audition, you know?
That's why you call him Papi? Yeah.
No comment. He did also bring Tesho Akindele, who played for him at Dallas, right? Kind of knows him a little bit. Also a striker,
Great guy.
Have you thought about maybe trying to trick him to get out the bubble so he has to quarantine for 2 weeks so you guarantee to start? Girl's out there, Tesho. Up 2 weeks. Your boy's back.
Hey, Tesho is my boy. You know, Tesho is a class player. I think he's very underrated in this league. You know, he always gives you what you need. And, you know, to me, I enjoy playing with him. You know, I think he's a very unselfish player, and he's a hard worker, and he'll give 100% effort all the time. He actually just signed a new contract. Yeah, so I want to give him a little shout out for that
congratulate
him. It's very thoroughly deserved. You know, he's a great guy on and off the pitch, and, you know, a class player, and I think he's got a bright future here.
Wipe down that bag with some Lysol wipes, but the homie got it. Good for him.
There you go.
You can never be too
long
careful.
Long overdue.
We have to talk about, you know, the villain of Orlando City, which is Atlanta
the previous
United.
Rival, but also probably not going to go away anytime soon.
So I want to just reference this question because we are comedians, and we do roast each other. We roast players. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun with it. We had a question from one of our members of Gully Squad.
This is Jacob Denton's question?
Jacob Denton, which is disrespectful, but I'm prefacing it so you know. But he asked the question, did Dom get anything? did Dom get Joseph Martinez anything for Father's Day? Okay, so we're just saying it because they bring in the heat, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of roasting and banter between Orlando and Atlanta. So what is?
I know those guys are very busy on social media. Actually, I'll give them that.
You know how disrespectful busy sounds in an English accent? Oh,
they're very busy. They're literally keyboard warriors. I love it, though. But now, what I will say is, you know, for me, it was that first game I played in against Atlanta. You know, they're new to the league, so I knew they spent a bunch of money, but I didn't know too much, honestly. And we had that battle where me and Joseph were going back and forth scoring goals, and you know, we had them and they scored again last minute. I think it finished 3-3, two goals and an assist that game, but I can't really remember.
Who knows? That
and then
counting.
I stood on their advertising boards in front of 70,000, so they might remember that. But, you know, it was not – it's hard to call it a rivalry, to be honest, because we've never beat them. So, you know, it's like our local team, but they're kind of forgotten about now. You know, we're playing catch-up. You know, they can go have their own little rivalry now, but – you know, we've got Miami now. We'll battle that one out, and then, you know, hopefully in the playoffs or in the finals, who knows? We'll see Atlanta at a different point, and we can reignite that. You know, I want to Joseph. I got a lot of respect for him. He's an amazing player, and I love what he did in the league as well. And you know, I wish him. We have decent contact. We talk a fair bit, and you know, I wish him well on his recovery. I know he's coming back fast, and he'll be back scoring goals in no time. So a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
And you know, you know, to the Atlanta United fans, I say just keep it coming. I love that stuff, man.
Look, for us.
You know what you're asking for, right? That's 70K.
Just so they know, it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, dude. It is, you know, it feels a little bit like, you know, even now with, you know, Instagram stories and more players being more vocal, there is this element of like a wrestling match, you know, where the wrestlers do promos and kind of hype up every match. So it's like, we always look forward to this. You know what? You know, when Atlanta put that billboard in Orlando and things like that, like I'm all right, yo, let's go, this is the entertainment factor.
MLS is lit.
Hey, yeah, if we were smashing them, I'd be doing the same thing, so I can't wait, baby.
Could you see something like that, like where MLS clubs are kind of like trolling each other on Instagram and on Twitter and putting up billboards? Could you ever see this happening in England?
No chance, because they're much more professional. It's a bit weird when the actual club's social pages do that. You know, the players can talk a bit of nonsense here and there. You might get fined and stuff. But it's, to me, it's still a little strange when the actual club's pages do it. But I understand in the culture here in America and how the MLS works. So it kind of makes sense, but normally we let the fans do that stuff.
I love it. I can't get enough of it.
The league needs attention. Whatever we got to do.
Hey, normally it's just the media guy for this team's talking to the media guy for that team.
Who cares if trolling is what gets us to beat the NBA, bro? Then let's hire some comedians.
We call it banter.
Yeah, exactly, for the band. I got a great question here. Yeah. This is another one from Gully Squad, and this is from Ebony Christmas. Have you been in contact with Berhalter at all? Any thoughts or any plans or goals to try to get back in the U.S. men's national team mix?
I mean, it's definitely in my plans. I'm 29 now. I've had a couple injuries which have kept me out from playing. You know, I haven't been lighting up the goal scoring charts, and you know, until I do that, it's really up to me. You know, I can keep calling him as much as I want, but that's not really going to do it. It's me doing it on the field. So, I'm excited for this year. We got a strong squad and, you know, I'm feeling great. I feel like I'm coming into my prime. So we'll see, to be honest. You know, we had a conversation when he first got the job, I want to say 2 years ago or something.
Yeah.
We haven't spoke since. I've seen him at the games. He's here at the tournament. So of course it's something in my aspirations. It's something I want to do. Since I came over this country 10, 11 years ago now, I've received a lot, and I've, you know, obviously being an MLS player, I want to help grow the game. I want to help grow the sport in this country. And that's one of my desires. And if I can help the country on the national stage, of course, that's something I want to do. You know, I gave up my dream of playing for England to play for this country. And, that's something that I want to continue doing. I'm not ready to hang them up there yet.
Of course.
So unless they got no interest in having me anymore, that's definitely in my aspiration.
Yeah. What is it? Isn't it a little odd to see Berhalter behind the goal, just watching everything? It's a little weird watching him on the broadcast, just in the mask and just like,
dad status, right?
Usually they stay in the stands. Usually the national team coach stays in the stands and watching the game, but he's just like right behind like Matt Turner watching him. No, it's not weird at all.
No, I respect it. I mean, I think his isn't, Nah, I respect it. I mean, his son's in there, I think, playing games as well. And, you know, he wants to see at eye level. He wants to see what the players have. So it's good. It's good for the players. Maybe it adds a bit of pressure, but in a good way.
Yeah.
He wants to see it. I'm sure he wants to get to know people. So I like it. I got time for it.
It's a good time to shine too, right? Especially in front of the old, in front of the guy who's running the whole thing.
There you go.
We should ask about the initial game. The first game for the MLS is Back tournament was incredibly powerful. Showing support for the Black Lives Matter movement. What was your experience like with that?
It was incredible, honestly. Walking out the tunnel, with the starting 11 and just seeing, over 100, black players from the MLS who were, it was strong. It was powerful, man. I got goosebumps the whole time walking out. And it was just a strong sign of unity. And, you've seen all these successful people just coming together with one mind and one focus and, something that's bigger than all of ourselves.
Okay. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah. And it made people uncomfortable, which is what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I applaud.
It's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to have those conversations. It's a difficult time, but it's something that needs to happen and it needs to be changed.
Yeah. That's the only way change is going to happen is to have those conversations. And what I'm glad about is that as far as you guys have created, especially in MLS, just created this sea of change because people that don't normally talk about MLS and some networks that don't normally talk about MLS were talking about MLS and talking about the black players in MLS making a change, which hopefully that inspires that across all different sports. That was wonderful to see.
Yeah, very much so. So again, Dom Dwyer, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been awesome. And we have to get you back on here and because there's so much we could talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We can have a good time.
We'll get the whole family in here.
So before we sign off, is there anything you want to let people know about or plug or anything?
Something you got coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So me and a couple of friends have been getting together. CJ Sapong, shout out to him. There's something we are creating. It's called The Social Sports. You're going to see it out there soon. It's basically our own media platform. We want to help athletes be able to create their brands, help them with their brands. and create their own positive narrative. So, you know, just really put them in a driver's seat and be able to show them that, you know, they're able to do what they want to do and not be controlled by clubs and other things. So awesome. Any athletes around or any pro players who are watching now, reach out to me or CJ. We'll get it going. So we got love. We got like exciting things to come for you guys.
Let us know how we could help with that. That would be dope.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. Just to,
Of course. If you start training, we can get you some endorsements, man. We can sort you out.
Oh, what a hill to climb.
Imagine they get you some deal though, Alexis. I'd be like, yo, this thing works.
Yeah, probably for a stretcher company or an IV company.
Thank you so much again for joining us, everybody. Make sure you follow Dom Dwyer on Twitter, on Instagram. Yes, the whole Dwyer family. Sydney LaRue is also incredibly awesome on social media.
Absolutely.
So make sure you follow them. Follow at Fubo Sports on social media as well. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you'd like to see full episodes of our program. Follow at Soccer Cooligans wherever. Also on Twitch. Follow us on Twitch because we've been doing some fun stuff there.
We're literally
well.
Everywhere.
We're literally
awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You're the best, let's end the show the way we normally do. So for Dom Dwyer, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!